Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Your spring is about to get a lot more power with the Home Depot. Get gas-like power from mowing, trimming, and blowing with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system starting at just $89. Mowing power that can take on a third of an acre with one charge. Trimming power with up to 2 hours of runtime. And blowing power with 110 miles per hour of clearing force. All on one interchangeable battery. Get cordless gas-like power for the entire lawn with the Ryobi 18-volt OnePlus system. Only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Wednesday, December 7th, 2022. I am Dave Biddle. I'm very happy to be joined by Matt Baxendale. All right, Bax, now it's official. Buckeyes versus Georgia. You lived in Atlanta for a minute, my friend. Buckeyes, 6.5 point underdogs. Buckeyes are a big problem when they're an underdog. A big problem. They're dangerous. Georgia's excellent. You got to go in their backyard to play them. They're the defending national champions. They're the real deal. Your thoughts on this matchup?
This reminds me of something. The last time we were a four seed and we had to go down south and play a recent national champion, what happened? Remember the gold? National champions. So, yes, I'm feeling very excited right now. This is the first time since I left Atlanta. I wish I still lived there. And let's just say it's going to be an awesome opportunity for Ohio State. Look, 2 weeks ago was terrible. We all agree on that. But guess what? Sometimes life gives you opportunities for redemption. And here's one far quicker than Ohio State could have dreamed. So let's go down to Atlanta in the heart of the South. And I tell you right now, everybody talks about that Zeke Elliott carry, 85 yards through the heart of the South. The last time that this happened, national championship, for those of you who are just listening, not watching. The actual heart of the South is Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta,
right. That's the capital of the South.
It is the crossroads of the South. The SEC championship is there for a reason. Everywhere in the South is within 10 hours of Atlanta. Everywhere. That is the centerpiece. The beating heart of the South is Atlanta, Georgia. So having the opportunity to play Georgia in Atlanta, there's a whole story waiting to be written here. And I, for one, am excited, and I think Ohio State fans are going to show up better than some people think, because it's only like an eight-hour drive from Columbus to get there.
Yeah, and I just booked my flight. I did it yesterday. It's like an hour and a half flight, hour and 40 minutes.
Correct.
Exact.
Yeah.
Direct flight, hour and 40 minutes. Boom. All right, so let's get into this. Obviously, Georgia's fantastic. I mean, they're not as good as they were last year in my estimation, but I thought they'd take like a – I still thought they'd be very good this year, but I thought they'd take like a big step back. I think they've taken like a step back, but they're still better than I thought they would. They lost a ton to the NFL, and man, their D line is still full of a bunch of studs. Stetson Bennett a couple years ago back, so I was like, this guy, game manager, you know, he's lucky to even be on a football field. He's turned into a really good college quarterback. I don't know if he'll be an NFL quarterback, but he's turned into a good college quarterback. Break down this Georgia team for me. What do you think they do really well, and do they have any holes that you see?
So here's the interesting part about Georgia. They're a team that coming into this year, they lost literally the whole defense, right? And we all thought that step back, like you talked about, was going to happen. And it turns out they're maybe the only team in the South that actually played really legit defense this year. And so that's the hallmark of that team, is they are hyper-physical. You know, all the credit we gave Michigan for being there, willing to punch you in the mouth, Georgia has every bit of that same attitude. And that is the heartbeat of that team, without question. Here's another fun fact for you. Stetson Bennett, Heisman finalist, was born in the same year as 2016 Heisman finalist and ultimate winner Lamar Jackson. Literally the same age as Lamar Jackson. He's 25 Jesse years old.
Him and Jesse Mirko have the same birthday is what you're telling me?
Yeah, right. Like, I'm expecting Chris Wanky to walk in the door at this point. It's there's a throwback. But look, you have a super veteran quarterback who's been through all the wars. Even if he's not hyper-talented, we saw Ohio State win a national championship with a bone-crushing defense, a strong running game, and a quarterback who was going to go out there and not make mistakes. Shout out Craig Krenzel. And at the end of the day, that's what Georgia has. That's what Georgia has. They have a 20-year later equivalent of that 2002 Ohio State national championship team. They got one high-end receiver, just like the Buckeyes. They got a pounding running game. They got a quarterback that everybody overlooks, and they got a defense that's going to punch you in the mouth. They're good. Plain and simple, they're good.
So when I was a kid playing sports and coaches would say things like, hey, guys, sports are 90% mental and 10% physical, I'd say that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because, you know, when we're in, like, fifth and sixth grade, we're very, you know, we're definitely smarter than the coaches. I'm a huge believer in the mental side of sports now. A huge believer. I'm not going to go as far as to say it's 90-10. I still don't believe that. But, man, I'm a huge believer in the mental side of sports. And you look at the record of Ohio State when they're an underdog. Backs. It's crazy. It's crazy. Now, maybe that'll mean nothing this year, but I love Ohio State in the underdog role. 6.5-point underdogs in this game. You're going to Atlanta to play the defending national champions in their own house. It'd be like somebody coming to play defending national champion Ohio State in Cleveland Brown Stadium if they had a dome on there, or Cincinnati Bengals Stadium if they had a dome on there, or even Indianapolis. What do you make of Ohio State as an underdog in a big game? It doesn't happen very often, and when it does, Buckeyes usually show up.
Yes, they do. And I'll be honest, I also think that going into the Michigan game, most of us thought Ohio State was the most talented team in the country this year. I don't know if I necessarily feel differently. I think Ohio State let that mental side of the game beat them in the Michigan game. Mm-hmm. Mentally, they're sitting there thinking, we should be up 24-3 at halftime. You know, and they weren't. And when it went against them, it went hard against them. I think playing Georgia first is actually a better thing for them because they're not going to have that whole in their heads about, oh, gosh, it's Michigan, and we're not going to screw this up, right? They're going to go out and they're going to try to fight for it, right? Plain and simple. They're going to fight, fight, fight. And look, here's the thing. All the SEC people are going to tell you, the SEC is different. The SEC is different. The SEC is different. Hey, Dave, did you know the SEC is different? What's happened the last couple times in major games when Ohio State's played SEC teams, right? Bama beat us in a title game. Okay, shit happens. What about the time we beat Bama, right? What about the time we beat Arkansas in the Sugar Bowl? Ohio State has showed up in the last decade in these games, right? And losing that Bama team in the national championship game where we're missing half of our starting defense to COVID is no shame. Like, I don't know what else to tell people, right?
Chase Sherman getting hurt on the first play, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Our star running back breaks his collarbone the first carry, and I think it was like a 9-yard run. So, like, look, we probably weren't going to outscore them anyways, but it would have been a lot closer than, what was it, 60-35 or something crazy?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
A lot to not quite as much. But at the end of the day, like, how did Ohio State get there? They went out against Clemson, who's a de facto SEC team, and beat them. And they should have beat them 2 years in a row if the SEC refs hadn't screwed us in that game 2 years ago. And by the way, let's point this out, too. What is look, we've had our complaints about Ryan Day in the Michigan game. What has Ohio State done in bowl games since Ryan Day showed up?
Every single time.
They've shown up. They won the Rose Bowl. Then they should have beat Clemson and got hosed, but were awesome in that game. Then they blew the doors off Clemson, and then they won the Rose Bowl. That's Ryan Day with all that extra time to prepare, right? So you have to give the guy a lot of credit for that. So, you know, if I'm Ohio State, I'm going into this thinking, we got a real chance to win this game, right? Plain and simple, they got a real chance to win this game.
For sure, it's 6.5-point. I mean, even the odd. I mean, I look at it like the betting odds, 6.5. Even if you don't feel like Ohio State's going to win this game, if you're a betting man or woman, I would say put the money line on it if you really like Ohio State. I love the point spread for Ohio State. I think this is going to be a field goal game, and I won't be surprised if Ohio State wins by a touchdown. There's no way it's going to be a blowout either way, in my opinion. And there's a chance Georgia's going to take Ohio State, you know, a little bit lightly, despite. I give Kirby Smart a lot of credit. He's been classy as heck with everything he said.
Oh, yeah. He's been trying not to let this get into his guys. The rat poison.
Exactly. I can't wait to hear what their players say, because they might not be like quite like, because you know what they're thinking. They're thinking, okay, yeah, Ohio State, man, just got blown out.
You got your doors blown off. You
are come to our house. We're Georgia. We just won the net.
We SEC.
That's where the mental side of sports comes in. Like, you think that you're going to kick somebody's ass, and they come in hungry, and they have nothing to lose. Nobody.
The shark eats them.
And we've seen it time and time again. We've seen it in sports in general, but let's just look at Ohio State football. We've seen it time and time again with Ohio State football. Even before our time backs, you look at 1968, the 69 Rose Bowl, Ohio State versus O.J. Simpson, the unbeatable USC Trojans. Buckeyes beat them 24-12 in the Rose Bowl in USC's backyard when no one gave Ohio State a chance in that game. Miami. So Miami, but Alabama,
Flipping around. Remember Florida?
Yeah,
don't want to talk about it. I wasn't going the other way.
Well, I mentioned 68 Ohio State against like USC, like the following year, Ohio State against Michigan. Let's not talk about that. So, like, things happen in sports when you're like an underdog, no one's giving you a chance, and you're hungry as hell, and you have a good team. It's one thing to be hungry. It's one thing to be hungry and to be an underdog. Okay, it's another thing to be hungry and an underdog, and you're a hell of a team.
Yeah, and Ohio State really good.
All of those things. And you mentioned
remember the last time we were a four seed? I'm wearing this hat still because it's super pertinent. In 2014, January 1st, 2015, we were supposed to get the doors blown off of us by Bama. We were the team that, remember, like, we were like, oh my gosh, remember when they ran the bear defense against us and we couldn't do anything? The bear front for Virginia Tech? And everybody said that Ohio State was going to get smoked by Alabama. And Ohio State won. This is the reality, folks. This isn't like Kent State, who, by the way, gave Georgia a really good game playing against Georgia. This is Ohio State. And like you said, Kirby Smart said something about this on the selection Sunday. He said that, you know, we compete with Ohio State for a lot of the same players. That's a really talented team. If you want, like, Ohio State has that cachet right now of a Bama kind of team, of a Clemson, of, you know, a Georgia, where you go, look, all things aside, you know, the talent level there is going to be top five, period. So guess what? If I'm Georgia, I'm sitting here going, and I'm not saying this out loud, but I'm thinking it, we should have played TCU. We're the undisputed number one team, and we did not get the real four seed because everybody, you ask TCU with a freaking lie detector test on them right now, they'll go, yeah, Ohio State should beat us. So Georgia got a bad matchup for a number one seed is the blunt truth, and they're probably sitting there thinking that.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully it works out well. We get an Ohio State-Michigan rematch, but you're right. I mean, Georgia is like the number one seed, and they get to play at home, so they're not really getting the shaft. But, like, man, I guarantee you Georgia, no matter what they would say publicly, if you gave them truth serum, they would say, we would definitely rather play TCU than Ohio State.
If this was fantasy football rules, Dave, where the number one seed picks their opponent in the first round,
right,
they'd have taken TCU.
Yes.
They'd have taken TCU over Bama. They'd have taken TCU over Utah. They'd have taken TCU over Hendon Hooker healthy on Tennessee. That's the blunt truth.
You're right. All right. So Kevin Wilson, the Ron Wilson era, those who are not subscribers to Bucknuts don't know what we're talking about. But then you should be a subscriber to Bucknuts and you would know what we're talking about. So the Ron Wilson era at Ohio State is now over as offensive coordinator. Kevin Wilson moving on to Tulsa as head coach. What do you make of that? I mean, like, first of all, we know Ryan Day is the real offensive coordinator. You and I have both been Kevin Wilson fans. What do you make of him moving on to Tulsa? Who do you think will replace him? Are they going to go from within with Justin Fry or Heartland? Are they going to bring in some fresh blood? Does it not matter because Ryan Day is the offensive coordinator anyway? A lot to unpack there, Mr. Baxendale, but unpack it for me.
So, first of all, correct me if I'm wrong here, Dave, but didn't Kevin Wilson's oldest kid graduate a year or two ago from high school, right? I think his kids are done now, right, with high school, right?
Yeah, well, Toby's been on Ohio State's team for 2 years. That's his second year at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Toby, yeah.
So that's my point. So it's not like his kids are still here coming up. And there's been talk how many off seasons in a row have we since he came here from Indiana? Remember you and I had this conversation like, holy hell, go get that guy, right? That was like 6-7 years ago now. We're like, get him. He's so good, right? Like, and to our credit and to his credit more than us, he proved us right. But The reality is, I think there's been talk for 2 or 3 years that Ron's wanted another head coaching opportunity, right? Like, he did a good job at Indiana. There was the whole, you know, players complaining about him being too tough stuff that really didn't seem like it was anything when he was immediately hired by Ohio State, and nothing ever came of it. So he kind of bided his time like we thought he initially would, won some games like we knew he initially would. And maybe it's a little longer than we thought he would have been here. I wouldn't have thought it would take this long for him to get another job.
True.
Or maybe he's been holding out for another one of those major jobs and just decided, you know, I'm not going to get a Power 5 job, so I'm going to go get a job at a good program like Tulsa that has shown in the past that it can win its conference and recruit well. I mean, good for him. That's the simplest answer I can say, is that this is a guy who we were lucky enough to have for as long as we did. Because this is a guy who was a stud offensive coordinator in a number of places. Flip side of that is replacing him. I firmly think Ohio State needs to go outside the program and bring in an OC. I want somebody who's going to challenge Ryan Day on his play calls and his philosophy, right? Because Ryan Day is such a good scheming coach. He is such a good coach in terms of instructing his quarterbacks and his passing game. He needs somebody in his ear to make sure he doesn't shift into Texas Tech mode, right? That's what he needs.
But I agree with you. Do you think, and I think I know you like Ryan Day. I like Ryan Day. Do you think Ryan Day would do that? Not should he. Would he bring in an offensive coordinator and not completely turn things over to him, but bring in an offensive coordinator from the outside and, like, I don't even know how to even articulate it. Like, turn over. Like,
somebody who he would listen enough to.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Yeah,
he needs, like, he needs his coach beard, you know. Ted Lasso has his coach beard. He needs his coach beard that can be like, coach, don't throw the ball here. He's got 3 straight carries, 8 yards apiece. Run the ball. You know, he needs that guy, right? He needs that guy in his ear.
True assistant offensive coordinator. Not like offensive coordinator by title. He needs a real, like, offense. Yeah, right. Yeah. Go ahead.
He needs that guy. And now the question is, and I think the answer we get here is going to tell us a lot about Ryan Day, right? Because the easy answer is just make Brian Hartley the offensive coordinator, right? Promote him in-house. But then it's another guy who's like, woohoo, passing game! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Right? No. We need the guy who has the punch him in the mouth attitude to the play calling. He needs a guy who can provide that scheme, who can sense when the game is getting to a point that we need to do something that we haven't done. That's the thing with Ryan Day, is that Ryan Day, the book on him is that when in doubt, he's going to air it out, right? And when he gets nervous, he throws those bubble screens, but it's always in the air. He needs somebody who keeps him grounded, literally. And I think he needs a veteran voice. And it doesn't have to be somebody who changes a lot. So probably somebody who walks in here and goes, you've done a lot of things right. My stated job is to help you with all these things because I'm a pretty talented guy too.
Right.
And then you're going to listen when I go, coach, you're getting away from the run. That's it.
Right, like, exactly, Bax. Like, you articulated that perfectly. Like, Ryan Day is like a savant as an offensive coach. He just needs, like, yes, like, go from like a 9.5 to a 10.
He needs somebody to rein him in just a
like
little,
he's a 9.5. Like, he's no slouch. Like, Ryan Day is an offensive genius, but like, there's times like it's like there's a little bit left to be desired. And if he would bring in a guy, but you know what I fear? I think he's going to promote Justin Fry or Hartline.
Yeah, that's where the smart money is, right? Because I think in his head he's going to think, look, we're fine. Look at how good our offense has been. I don't need to bring in anybody new. We'll bring in somebody to work with our tight ends, and it'll be fine. And that it'll be fine, right? I think that's where we go. If Ryan Day doesn't, because think about it. Look at all the big hires he's made since he came in. They've been all on the defensive side of the ball, right?
Right.
You know. He hasn't brought in any other voice offensively.
Other than Justin Fry. Right, exactly. Yep.
But he brought in Justin Fry as a Chip Kelly guy, who was somebody he knew was vetted for a very specific role.
And they had a previous relationship.
Yes,
right.
He hasn't brought in anybody that's going to be enough to challenge him on the offensive side.
Right.
Right. And again, you and I are both saying the same thing here. He doesn't need that much challenge. He needs somebody who is mostly aligned by him, but focuses it just a little bit, right? Like, he needs the guy the last couple of years who goes, hey, Coach Day, you know, it's a really dumb idea to start 4 tackles on the offensive line. We're not going to get any push up the middle. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good call. Right. Like, he needs that guy who just, like, gets to him. He needs his coach beard. Whoever his coach beard is, we need his coach beard. That's where we're at right now.
And I hate to say it, and I'm glad he's moving on to Charlotte, but like a Biff Poggi type, you know?
Yeah. He needs one of those voices. He needs one of those voices, and he doesn't have
it. Cut that. I hope my producer cuts that out of the show.
Yeah, you're going to get in trouble for saying
there's no producer. Here's the thing about this show. I'm the host and the producer, which is tells you a lot about the quality of the show.
It means you're undisputed, Dave. So, yeah. But look at it. Who has he brought in?
What the good thing about me, like, about that is, about being undisputed, is you don't have to get on our site and read things like Jaxon Smith-Njigba is definitely playing in the game, and then like an hour later, it's announced he's not. Because some sites, facts, just make stuff up.
Well, you know.
And then some sites have been like the standard for like since 1999. But some sites will tell you things like Jaxon Smith-Njigba is playing in the game. This is yesterday. A literal Ohio State site said that Jaxon Smith-Njigba is going to play in the game. And then like an hour later, it was announced he wasn't. And I already knew he wasn't.
These people are so wise, man. It's amazing. It's amazing how total BS that people will buy. Hey, if you're listening to this and you don't subscribe to Bucknuts, here's the thing. We will not make these splashy Oracle-esque predictions like we know some super secret thing. We'll just shoot you straight facts. That's the truth, because that's what you guys want is the truth. And it's been this way for 20 years. There's a reason Bucknuts is the gold standard. And yeah, there's some grifters out there. Don't listen to them.
We'll be in Atlanta.
We should talk about Atlanta. Can we talk about Atlanta? I lived there for 5 years.
We can.
And I haven't even got to tell people about Atlanta.
We'll do it next week. Next week, we'll talk about Atlanta. Stuff out of Matt Baxendale. Appreciate it, Bax. Thank you to all the listeners. Appreciate you guys. Hope everyone has a great day.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sanfel, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.